drug programs are necessary in our, not just our community, but in the world, amen. And I believe there are more things on the way. The community, part eight. Over the last 2 months, we've been talking from this sermon series entitled The Community. And I'm sorry we don't have screens today. I was just informed that we wasn't going to have them. So I'll just have to, we have to do something old school, like open your Bibles. Amen. Amen. And we have learned that the working definition for the word community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Our common attitude should be the Word of God and nothing else. Let me say that again. Our common attitude should be the Word of God and nothing else. We can disagree about politics. We can cheer for different sports teams and even have a difference of opinion on school districts, colleges to attend, and even genre of music. But when it comes to our mind, when it comes to the core of us, who we are, how we operate, what makes us us, well, that should all come from the Word of God. Remember, a popular verse here at the Unity Worship Center is Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." I'm of the old school where my Gigi used to say, if God says it, that settles it. And that's what we roll with. And that is the major problem in the 21st century westernized church. We have become a people of debate. We have to argue about everything. Everybody always has something to say. And it is okay to disagree. But whatever the Word of God says about the situation, well, that's just how it goes. That's why it is so important as a believer to study and to know the Word of God for yourself. Not so that you can win arguments amongst your peers, but most importantly, so that you stay on the right side of God and that you find yourself in constant alignment with God. Amen. So in a Christian community, our common attitude should be the Word of God. God's thoughts should, as Leon Timbo says, they should define us. God's thoughts, God's Word should define us. Lord, have mercy. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come to you thanking you for all things. Father, I pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding. How dare I venture into your word knowing that there is entities and isms and spirits that is trying to come up against not just your people hearing the word, but your servant giving the word. I bind all demonic distraction. Come up against every attack that comes up against the people of God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. God's thoughts should define us. Brother or sister such and such, how do you feel about this or that? And the answer should be, I feel as the Word of God says. It is not always easy. It is not always popular. And most days it will be despised. But as blood-bought believers, we stand on nothing but the Word of God. The definition says a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And one of our major interests should be the governing of our community and the strength of our community. I want to see unity, the unity community thriving long after we are gone. And in order for that to happen, we have to be interested in our youth. Amen. Not just so they don't get pregnant before marriage, and not just so that they don't become a victim to gun violence. We don't want any of those things, but not just so that they don't end up addicted to drugs and alcohol. No, we don't want any of that for our youth, our kids in children's church, nor the children or the babies in the nursery. So we equip them with tools, knowledge, and most of all, the knowledge of Christ so that they can become overcomers. But my interest for the babies in the nursery, for the kids in the children's church, and for the youth is deeper than all of that. My interest is, and our interest should be, that they are strong in the word. That they have to have a love for God, a desire to serve God, an understanding of how God loves them and cherishes them despite what color they are or how long their hair is or regardless to what shape they are, what anybody might say about them. They need to know that God is for them, has a plan for them. They need to know what Jeremiah 29 and 11, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." They need to know that no matter how cold, how crazy this world becomes, God has thoughts and a plan for them. They need to know on good days as well as bad days and loss and pain and letdown that God has thoughts and a plan for them. When they are in depression, self-loathing, and cutting themselves, they need to know that God, the creator of the heaven and earth, has thoughts and a plan for them. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Thoughts and plans. When they see all of these kids dying around them, when they see all of these people dying around them, they need to know that his thoughts are of peace. They are of peace and not evil. Thoughts and plans to give them a future and a hope. My God, in a world and a time with murder, overdose, and suicide all around us, as adults, if we need to know that God has a thought of peace and not of evil to give us future and a hope, then we know the young people need to know it. Anybody ever just deal with all the hell that's going on around you? It don't even necessarily have to be connected to you, but on the strength that it's going on around you. And it just takes you to the place, if you said, if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Every now and again, I have to remind myself that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, despite everything that's going on around me, not to mention when it's going on with me. Lord, have mercy. Our interest in the young people should also be their ability to witness, their desire to tell others about this Jesus that we serve. It is important that our youth get the word and love the word because they are our future. They are our future. If you have a church full of old people and no young people, you have a dying church. If you have a church full of young people and no old people, you have a dying church. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so if they don't love God, if they aren't raised strong in the word, they won't spread the word. Thus, there will be no church after we're gone. And this concerns me. This concerns me. Our goals when it comes to the church should be the same as well. We want to see them, everybody out there, we want to see them saved. We want to be operating at such a serious level or such an optimum level that when they say the crime is down significantly on the north side of town, we ought to know through the power of God we had something to do with that. It isn't enough to sit in here and preach and amen about it. We have to get out into our community and let people see the love. Let them see that we care. Let them see that we are here to help them grow in God. I don't think that we need to take another food basket to a neighborhood. We've already fed them physically. Now it's time to feed them spiritually. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two small fish. Everybody thought it was something when at the next time he popped up, he had a large crowd. But the problem was they wasn't there for the word. They was there for the fish. They was there for the bread and not necessarily the bread of life. We have to be careful of what we fill the church with and why the church is filling up. What are we filling it with? Are we filling it with implications or promises that if something is due and you ain't got it, we can pay it? Oh, Lord. Because if that's the case, what happens when we can't pay it? What happens when we won't pay it? What happens if why folk come, they aren't coming for Jesus? We're to see them saved. They need to know we want to see them saved. They need to know that we want to see their children saved, to see their grandbaby saved, and living the life that God intended for them to. Our common goal should be to win folk to Jesus. You know, over the last couple of years, I have literally watched the Unity Worship Center fight amongst each other harder than we fight against the devil. We have fought amongst each other. And it's just not unity. It's churches all over the world. How do you know? Because they're still overdosing at a crazy rate. How do you know that it's like this in every church in Lexington? Because the crime level is far higher this year than it was this time last year. We have missed the point. We have missed the reason. And we've come with all these preconceived notions of what church is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be to everybody, everything but Jesus. I need it to be this for me. And I need it to be that for me. And if I'm going to join, I need to see this. And if I'm going to be a part of it, I need to see that. And what you really need to see, and all you've ever needed to see when it comes to choosing a ministry, is do you see Jesus? Lord, have mercy. There is a quote that I stumbled upon this morning that has dealt with me all morning, and I would like to share it with you. I really wish we had these screens up. I'm going to put this on the page. I'm going to put this quote on the page. So I'm going to read it twice, and I'm going to read it slow both times. Is that all right? We don't come to church to be church. This is C.S. Lewis. He says, we don't come to church to be church. We come to Christ, and then we are built up as a church. If we come to church just to be with one another is all we will get. And it isn't enough. Inevitably, our hearts will grow empty and then angry. If we put community first, we destroy community. But if we come to Christ first and submit ourselves to him and draw life from him, community then gets traction. Oh, God. Part two. Let's do it again. We don't come to church to be a church. We come to Christ, and then we are built up as a church. If we come to Christ just to be with one another is all, it's all that we'll get. And it isn't enough. It isn't enough. Inevitably, our hearts will grow empty, then angry. If we put community first, we will destroy community. But if we come to Christ first and submit ourselves to him and draw from him, draw life from him, community then gets traction. Whew. This absolutely blew my mind this morning. Oftentimes you hear me say we have mastered coming to church or getting them to come to church, but what we have yet to master is getting people to come to Jesus. Oftentimes you hear me say this, and this is so true, and in fact, I double down on it. But there is a reason for that. There's a reason for that. That saying is true. The reason is because the church, the building, the people that make up the church, and Jesus himself do not possess the same standard. Ain't that crazy? We don't possess the same standard. Church standards are easy. People's standards are easy. But when it comes to the standard of the gospel, not so much. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 1, we find the Apostle Paul saying something powerful, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. And it says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. Lord, have mercy. What Paul is discussing in that verse is simply standards. Standards that exhibit godly character. Well, what is godly character? Well, one answer to that could be found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. When it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you know, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the characteristics of God, godly character. So you can't tell me that you're God, you are of God, but I can't see no love. You can't tell me that you're of God and ain't no peace in your life. You just always crazy. Just something's always overwhelming you. I got a problem with that type of peace. In fact, that's not the peace that surpasses all understanding. And I do not believe that it is the peace that it comes from God. See, you've got a peace that's not a peace, which is not of a godly peace, which is actually confusion. And far too many times we see too many Christians operating in the spirit of confusion rather than the spirit of peace. You know, don't tell me you're of the Lord, but you ain't patient. Now, let me say this. I hear you, Holy Ghost. This is usually where I get in trouble. But we ain't gonna wait all day on you. Yeah. It's good to be patient. But we can't wait all day on you. See, I begin to wonder, what is it that's so strong about the issues and isms that we deal with that God gets to us and then can't work it out? In fact, I think it's a special kind of arrogance to sit back and feel like God can't work it out for you. I think that we think a little too highly. You know what I'm saying? Just a little too highly of ourselves when we say, you know, God, he's done all of this. He's done all of that. I mean, he's, you know, we read of all the healings and we read of all the breakthroughs and all the next levels and all the new dimensions. But when it comes to us, we so special in our mess, he can't help us. So the question actually becomes, is God powerful enough to deliver us from the things that we are going through, or is it that we just don't want to be delivered? See, because deliverance takes work. Deliverance takes no. Everybody say no. Now, it's easy to say, wasn't it? Because you wasn't saying no to nothing. But say no to something that you like, but no, you shouldn't have. Now say no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't make you a bad person. It really just makes you real. We have struggles. But here's the deal. We don't have to stay struggling. But in order to stop struggling, there has to be some work put in. Now, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but I ventured my way back into the gym. And one of the problems is, She gonna make me hit the gym. Don't do that, girl. Don't do. She say something and it make me just work out right then. Amen. Amen. Here is the hit. When I first start the gym, for the first week or so, it hurts. Because there is something going on with my body that is contrary to its natural way. And the natural way is we just like to lay on the couch and watch SVU and eat whatever, drink whatever, right? But now that I'm trying to exercise and get myself together, my body is it seems like it's coming up against me. Lord have mercy. And the only way, I want you to understand this, and I've learned this, the only way that I'm going to feel better is not if I stop exercising, but if I keep going. If I stop exercising, the problem is now I'm going to be sore for a longer period of time because the muscles aren't being worked out. And then not only that, every day that I walk into the mirror, Lord, have mercy, that I walk in front of the mirror, I am reminded of the failure. Y'all don't hear me in here. I remind myself that I have quit on me again. And as a consequence, everything that I see that I don't like about me is nobody's fault but my own. Lord, have mercy. Deliverance is a whole lot like working out. You got to keep going through it. Whoa, there's been some times being delivered from some things in my life that you ever dropped your knee and held your stomach like, Jesus? But if I turn around and go back to it, Lord, have mercy, I know what's waiting on me. And sometimes the struggle can be just to press on in the midst of the hell. But I have to, you have to, we have to press on nonetheless, because if we don't press on, we know what the mirror looks like. Amen? Lord have mercy. Nobody tell you it's going to be easy. Nobody tell you it's going to be easy. Some days you're going to wonder if it's worth it. But I've come to find out that it is. That it is. This character, this godly character, is what we should be showing the world every day. That ain't always easy either. Because life will take you there some days. If I'm being honest, life will take you there most days. But the more you stay in the Word, the more you strive to be in God's presence, the easier this becomes. This is the recipe. Everybody's trying to figure out. I don't mean to bring her up like, oh, she's my wife. He always talking about her. But here's this is just what I've seen. It's my example. You don't know how she was doubled over in pain last night. You can't understand that because you saw her jumping up and down, running all over the place, praising God. And the only reason why I can say that that's possible is because I know what presence she stays in. Contrary to popular belief, she don't hang with me in the house like most people would think she does. She hangs with Jesus. So get this. She's going through a serious physical pain in her body. And she's praising God like crazy. I just got some things on my mind. And I can barely two-step. What's the difference? The difference is she's wise enough to know to be about God's business. Not the church's business. Not the church people's business. She lets nothing get in the way of her being in the presence of God. What I've got to learn, what I've got to turn the table on, is when Satan keeps me in the presence of people. Woo. I'll be telling her, I'm like, I'm trying to tell you about something. I'm trying to talk to you about something. And she's like, I'll be right back. And I'm saying, but this is about the church. It's about some things going on in the church. I'll be right back. And she's going up the steps, and I'm mumbling under my breath. Ain't nothing saved about you. I told you it was for the church. Then 20 minutes has passed. Another episode is halfway through. And I walk up the steps because I want to know what's so important that you ain't got back down here and spoke to me yet. And she's praying. She's Abba. Yeah. You know. And I open the door with some fierce authority and some attitude and open the door and say, hey, because you know you better not mess with her while she's in that place. I ain't going to say nothing, but I'm sure going to stomp hard walking down here. Get to the last three steps. Lord, help your pastor. It's not always easy. And so what's very important, it's so very important because we have to be, especially we have to have this character. Watch this. We got to have this godly character with one another. We got to have the godly character with one another. That baby's all right. Amen. That baby's all right. Let that baby be. Amen. That baby part of the church. I believe that's in translation, baby English, amen, bishop. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, because this is so very important. We have got to show this godly character to one another. And I know that it's important to show the world godly character, but if we don't show it to one another, we won't last. You see? And so C.S. Lewis says in his quote, we don't come to church to be a church. We come to Christ, and then we are built up as a church. You will never be everything that you're supposed to be in Jesus until you are first in Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? If we come to church, come on, baby. If we come to church, thank you, softball. If we come to church just to be with one another is all we will get. We have to remember that the main thing has to stay the main thing. And the main thing is not the ushers. And the main thing is not the greeters. And the main thing is not the pastors. And the main thing is not the praise team. The main thing should always be Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. And when we, oh Lord, have mercy. And when he is the main thing, we will grow in him individually and then as a body. It has always got to be Jesus. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 44 says this in the Amplified. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to the fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. A sense of awe was felt by everyone. And many wonders and signs attesting miracles were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior. I want to stop right there. You have to believe in Jesus as Savior, not as debt payer. Can I take it deeper? And I know this is going to go against what we talk about a lot in here. You ready? You've got to believe in him first as Savior, not healer. Ooh. He has to be first your Savior before he can be a wheel in the middle of the wheel. In fact, the second commandment he gives when he steps on the scene in the book of Mark, he says, repent and what? Believe. He has to first be your Savior If he's not your Savior, he's nothing else. You understand what I'm saying to you? It says, and all those who believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole. Didn't hear that many amens.
Yeah.
What you mean, Pastor? The Bible says that they sold everything that they had and brought it to the apostles so that no one would have lack. See, it's hard to feel less than, or it's hard to feel superior to, when everybody's on the same level. When we get to the point in our hearts where this stuff don't really mean nothing to me, I can sell this today and bring it to the, and so now guess what? We're going to all have 32 inches. Because there might be four of us that ain't got no inches. You see what I'm saying to you? One of my favorite rappers said, everybody's eating, nobody considered a leech. See, it's hard in the body of Christ. One of the reasons why it's hard in the body of Christ is because we bring too much humanism into the body of Christ. We get upset about things that have nothing to do with Jesus. Why they house look like that? Because they work. I work. They work harder than you. Why are they driving that? They work. Pastor Gross pulled up in her beautiful Lexus. And she can't text me back because she's working. Our awesome husband, Benny, walks like this because he works. But here's what we do in our human state, right? We get mad at God thinking I'm in church just as much as them. I shout just as loud as them, sometimes louder. Where my Lexus? They don't have anything to do with God. They work. What you need to ask, Pastor Gross, is how, when I'm dealing with depression, do I press on in the midst of it? Got something to do with God right there and the relationship with God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, look at you can't look at it, but verse 43 says, a sense of awe was felt by everyone. And I found two definitions for the word awe that I want to share with you. The first definition of awe says a feeling of great respect, sometimes mixed with fear or surprise. Okay, that's easy enough to accept and walk away. But the second one grabbed a hold of me this morning a little deeper, and it says, awe is the feeling of respect and amazement that you have when you are faced with something wonderful and often rather frightening. I thought about you this morning when it's funny that we was in the office talking. It's the feeling of respect and amazement that you have when you are faced with something wonderful and often rather frightening. And some of you might say, well, why'd you think about him? Because we was in the belly together. Anybody ever been in the belly? Anybody ever been in hell? I'm talking about, just a mental hell that you could not get out of. And then all of a sudden you meet this Jesus and you respect him, but the awe of it is, oh God. The definition says you're surprised and you're taken. And does anybody in here remember when you first experienced God and his power? Do you remember when you first experienced God and his power? Oh, my God. I remember sitting in a jail cell and watching God ride for me, come with intentions of setting me free. And I ain't just talking about setting me free from a physical prison, but the prison in my mind, the emotional prison I had been captive of for far too long. And I knew, see, and everybody in the building knew to respect God, or should I put it like this? We knew to respect the idea of God. You see? And I mean, even I knew that. I mean, you got to understand, for years I operated as a Muslim. So when I experienced God in prison as Abba or Father, this was amazing to me. And what was so amazing was not the miracles that he had done. He had done no miracle at that time, that he had performed. What was amazing to me was that he loved me despite me. Am I by myself in here? Or does that just blow your mind still every now and again? That he loves me despite me. He loved me regardless to whatever I had done. He loved me regardless to whatever I had said in my ignorance. He loved me despite how I had worshipped other gods beside him. It was amazing to me. Not that he could love me, because I knew that he could do anything. But what was amazing to me is that he would love me. That he would care for me. Because despite my horrible past, what was amazing to me was that he would still call me his own. That's what did it for me, Sister Erica. It wasn't everything I read in the Bible. I hadn't experienced what I read in the Bible. But what I had experienced was this undying love for me, this unconditional love for me, this love that told me I was more than enough, this love that told me that I was the head and not the tail, this love that held me when everybody else left me, this love that wouldn't let me go. Hey, Lord, have mercy. That's why I stick with it when I want to give up, because he loved me. Yes. Times can happen in life where I ain't sure of too many things, but one thing that I am sure of is that he loves me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I ain't always the best Christian. I ain't always the best pastor. I ain't always the best man. But I tell you one thing, his love is surely the best. He loves me. Hey, Lord, have mercy. As a community, we should share in that awe. We should share in being blown away, because we, like no one else, understands who we were, what we were, where we were, and he loved us nonetheless. I was in Western Kentucky Wednesday night, and the Lord put something on my heart that he had never put on my heart before. And he said the altar call was going to be for two sets of people. The first set of people was going to be the people that he had delivered, but we had forgot to praise. The second set of people was going to be the people that had hell going on right then and needed to praise him for deliverance. Watch this. The Lord brought this back to my memory today. Did we praise him as long as we begged him? And if it was that major then, why are we done talking about it now? You understand what I'm saying to you? I want to be around people that can remember when it was crazy. And not just to bring themselves down, not just to be lowly in spirit, but they can remember when it was crazy, because they can, and they always keep a praise on their lips. Watch this, because I just happen to believe that if you begin to praise him on the strength of what he did for you 3 years ago, I will remember something that he did for me last year, and I will begin to praise him, and then Erica will remember something that he did for her 2 years ago, and she will begin to praise him, and all over the building we'll begin to praise him. I heard a preacher say, I can praise him on memory. Lord have mercy. I can praise him on a memory. It ain't got to be nothing new that he's done, but on the strength that he kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we gotta remember to praise him. Listen. It might not be the way that I want it to be right now, but I can remember when it was way worse than what it is right. And on the strength of that, I can praise him. Oh God, y'all don't hear me up in here. We got to learn how to share in the all. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's why testimony service is good. We need to bring it back to church. Testimony service was good because it reminded us of the goodness of God. And you couldn't sit there when you was hearing a real testimony. I ain't talking about a store policy or nothing like that, but I'm talking about a real testimony service. A real testimony makes you get to your feet and say, you know what? I know this happened 4 years ago, but 4 years ago I was about to lose my mind, and 4 years later I'm still in church, in my right mind, still. C.S. Lewis said, I promise I'm almost done. If we only come to church for one another, all we get is one another. And I love every one of you in here, and I'm glad to see each of you. But if truth being told, I came to see Jesus. I don't know what you came to do, but I come to experience Jesus. Amen. And you ought to be here to see Jesus. And I know I'm the one preaching, but Jesus is who has your salvation. Jesus is who has your healing. Jesus is who has your peace, your breakthrough, your good report. So I don't know about nobody else in here, but I come to see Jesus. To catch this, C.S. Lewis said, he said, if we come to church just to be with one another is all we'll get. And it isn't enough. See, beloved, if all we come for is each other, what happens when the best us doesn't show up? If we just showing up for each other, what happens when the best us don't show up? If all we come for is each other, what happens when they don't show up for you? If all we show up for is each other, what happens when who we showed up for doesn't show up themselves? What do we do then? And we put people on a hook that they cannot possibly live up to. Now you love them less because they failed you in a test that they was never supposed to have to take. You was never supposed to come here for me. What are you watching my life for? You're supposed to be watching Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you something. We can love each other, be down for each other, and pray for one another. But the reason we show up, it has to be for Jesus. If we show up for any other reason, watch this, then we can't be down for each other. We can't be there for one another. And watch this, and we can't have one another's back because we will only be operating off our own strength. And our strength has limitations. But when we are operating in the strength of Jesus, I know you real, but I can't come for you. Because I know as real as you are, you got your own stuff going on. That's why we have to learn how to say, I can't do that right now. It's being honest. I don't have the strength for that right now. And we got to stop being offended when others say to us, for where I'm at in life right now, I can't take that on. Because if I take one more thing on, I'm going to lose me completely. That don't mean I don't love you. That don't mean I don't care about you. That don't mean you ain't on my mind and in my prayer life. It just means I can't keep taking things on
that have nothing to do with me. Lord, have mercy.
You straight, but I'm all messed up. You know how many times we paid bills for people and didn't pay our own? We paying other people. I ain't talking about church. I'm talking about me and her. Pay other people's bills and then had to get an extension on our own bills. My wife had to come to me and say, look, her, I know you the preacher. And I know you called. And I love you. But what we ain't going to keep doing, in fact, what we ain't going to do no more. And there I sat under my breath. And she's supposed to be saved. So I come back with, well, you know, I'm not really worried about it for us because the Lord will make a way. And she said something that was powerful. She said, what if he had other ways for us? So I paid my own electric bill the next month. Listen, in closing, C.S. Lewis says this. I want you to catch this, okay? Because some of you are wondering why I'm always, you know, we're always trying to teach a class or get you to come to this class or that class. Because for the most part, and it's no disrespect to anyone in here, but for the most part, we got a lot of people in here that have not been in the Word strong. Okay? And so we understand that the stronger you get in the Word, the stronger you become. The church will only be as strong as. So if you only got half the people in the building that studies the Word, then we only really got half a chance as a collective unit. Because where the Word isn't active, flesh is. Write that one down. Write that one down. That was a good one. Where the Word isn't active, flesh is. And so since we got half flesh, so the other half that's in the Word, they don't have time to be battling the enemy because they're battling the flesh of their brothers and sisters. So when the enemy does walk through these doors, nobody has strength because we've wasted it all. And it would be different if it changed something. But it don't. Listen, C.S. Lewis said this. If we put community first, we will destroy community. So hold on, Pastor, but all you've been preaching is community. But all I was preaching before community was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see? But if we come to Christ first and submit ourselves, here it is. Here it is. And this is where the problem is. This is where folk get upset with me because sometimes I come and say what the Bible says. I just say it roughly. Yeah, people catch a whole chip with me because I just say what the Bible says. I just say it roughly. I say it as a man that's tired of saying it. And before you get upset with me, just ask yourself, where are you? And then maybe you won't get mad at me because you understand. And I say the same things over. Because I love you. Because I love you. Because I want you to get it. Because hell is hot and there's no coming back from it. You understand what I'm saying to you? So if we submit ourselves, you're not submitting to me. And that's another big part of the problem is a lot of times folk feel like they submit to me. And pride begins to stand up in people. He ain't going to be telling me what to do. I'm grown. I'm just in sales. Take it up with management. I did not write it. I'm just telling you how it reads. Oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost just spoke and said, so tell him, take it up with me. Take it up with me. Get mad at me for. Oh God. Now I'm having to hold on to my flesh.
because I want to go further and deeper, but I know I can't because it ain't of the Lord. See, I'm growing. And why did I just share that with you? So that you know to do it. You know to do it too. Because watch this. I could make some more points that are totally honest and totally true, but it wouldn't help the matter. And sometimes getting your point across ain't as important. You see what I'm saying? So you see, pride tried to roll up right there, boy. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. So first we need to submit ourselves to him, watch this, and draw life from him. Can I just say this? Not from me. Can't draw life from me. Because all I got is what he give me. And I believe that's sufficient enough for me. And I believe that he has a portion for you that is sufficient enough for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And here's the thing. When I let you draw from me, I take glory from him. And the problem is I'm going to let you down every now and again. I'm going to fail you every now and again. I'm not going to agree with you every now and again. I'm going to say some things that's going to step on your toes every now and again. And since you drew your life from me, you die with me. And I'm not where you're supposed to die. You see? You understand that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. You got to seek first God's kingdom and all of his righteousness. See, y'all waiting for the second part, but you don't need the second part. We need to grasp hold to the first part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. That's where we need to be at. See, because we're always looking for, but what's in it for me? And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the part everybody waiting for. Because if I'd have said it right after I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then I would have said, and all these other things, everybody would have, amen. Because it's a what's in it for me mentality. No. I want to know what is your righteousness. Because in your righteousness is how I survive out here. It's how I stay the me that you intend for me to be. I need to know what your righteousness is. God has to be first. Thus his word has to be first. And it has to trump every high imagination or anything that is contrary to his word. A high imagination is anything that exalts itself against the word of God. Got too many high imaginations working. Lord have mercy. Listen. With that being said, sometimes we have to hear some hard things. It doesn't lessen the love that God nor I have for you. But in all honesty, it more so exemplifies the love God has for us. In closing, Hebrews 12 and 11, the Amplified Version says this, "For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, and a lifestyle and attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and purpose." You catch that? I know sometimes I say some stuff, but the reality, even if it's not in scripture form, it's scripture. And I say it the way I say it because I don't want nobody to be able to walk out of here saying they didn't get it. But don't get mad at me for what I gave you. Because it's the word. And he says, listen, discipline does not always feel good. No discipline feels good at the time that you're getting it. But if you learn from it, if you understand you're wrong in it, if you understand, see, you know, I use the analogy all the time. When I was young, I darted out into the street and just ran across the street. And my mother, she beat me all the way to the house. I think personally she beat me for things that didn't have nothing to do with me darting out in the street. But that's another thing. She beat me all the way to the house. And when I turned around, and something I never shared with you guys is when I turned around and looked at her, by the time we got to the house, I jerked her up, and she was crying. Because she was whooping me, thinking about it. Had that car hit me, where we could be, where I might be laying. Funeral arrangements that had to be made. You understand what I'm saying to you? You think that I'd like coming in here and having to say the things that I say? You think I just say what I'm saying because I'm having a bad week? Check my Facebook page. I'll be having a good week. And all of a sudden, coming out of that room, she'll go, huh, one of them days. And I go, ugh. But if I don't, watch this, but if I see you in heaven, if you ain't burning in hell, and folk get mad at me when I say I'm not interested in being your friend, I don't get to be your friend all the time. I can't because you expect friends to shut up. But the Bible even tells us that faithful are the wounds of a friend. So I got to be your pastor, and I got to say what's not popular. And I can't be worried about it. I can't be worried about how you take it. I shouldn't have to worry if you're going to show up because I said what he said for me to say. You see what I'm saying to you? No discipline seems good right now when you're getting it. But if I can learn from it, I say, if folk would just listen to the conversations that we're having, just listen to what I'm saying. I'm only saying what the Bible is saying. What are you upset with? If we're going to be a community, a Christian community, it has to start with Christ first. Who gets upset because I say get in your word? You're not in your word making us weak as a unit. That's the truth. If everybody is in their word, Pastor, do you remember that time when I said, everybody, we're going to start Bible study on these scriptures? And the seven people that came had actually read those scriptures. And it was a powerful night. Why? Because everybody, the seven that came, was on one accord. They had read it. They had been reading it all week long. We walked in there and we talked, and everybody was like, woo. And it was one, you know, it was an amazing experience. How would it seem for 60 people? You know, we 60, 70 strong when, let me shut up. Right there. I had to pull him back. Just pull him back right there. Just pull him back right there. Pray for you, Pastor. But how stop it, Ray. How would it seem? How would it be if everybody in here right now read the word of God? Didn't even have to read the same thing. Just read the word of God, study the word of God, meditated on the word of God, daily devotional through the word of God every day. Y'all know how we'd come in here? Exactly. So with that being said, Sunday when we come back, be in the word this week. She's a prophet. Be in the word this week, and let's see how we come back. And that should be contagious. And the people that don't look like us, you know, sometimes you just got to tough love them and say, you wasn't in your word, was you? Come on, shout anyway. I know it's rougher to shout now because you wasn't in your word, but shout, come on, come on. Yeah. Ushers, can you come down real quickly?